The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library, where we discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 4. I'm Chris Lorenz, and sitting next to me is...
Maxison Maxman.
Okay, it's just the two of us today.
Correction, Carrie Maxison.
Okay, that's the third name you've given to me tonight.
Yep, we've had a lot of trouble setting up this podcast because our usual master of ceremonies is gone.
So Harrison Robb out. They're, recording this late. Because we were trying to get them in the podcast and they didn't want to.
Well,
extenuating circumstances.
Sure. Rob's off in Mexico hanging with some bad hombres. And Harrison, as reported last week, is dead to me for not watching 24.
And we have a confirmed third host for Monday. So they will also not be there on Monday. So they're both not going to be here.
Alas. However, you get the two best hosts, so let's just roll with it.
It's true. All right, so let's go over one plot line. We'll do something a little different this week.
Okay. What are we doing?
I'm going to read a synopsis somebody wrote that wasn't me.
Interesting.
It's on TV Line, so I'm gonna plug them a little bit, you know.
Oh, that's that little booklet you get at the grocery store, TV Line.
I guess.
It's actually TV Land. I'm making a TV Land reference.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's TV Guide. Sorry.
I thought that's what you meant, but I was like, I don't know where you're going with this.
Just read the damn synopsis.
As Neela got hauled to CTU for further interrogation, Senator Donovan continued to question his longtime colleague's guilt, as well as raise an eyebrow when his father didn't scratch his own head the slightest. After an assistant ran background on the allegedly damning mosque incident and corroborated Neela's story, she went there to denounce the radical imam. Donovan had an NSA pal examine the telltale ATM video, deducing that it was a fake. Donovan confronted his father with that intel, noting that the leak nonetheless came from their campaign office, and only they and Rebecca had access. Henry confessed that he was leveraged into accessing and turning over the Army Rangers names when Bin Khalid learned that his company bought off market oil from ISIL. Henry saw that six Rangers' lives as a small price to pay for the good that his son will eventually do as president. Donovan called his wife at episode's end to report that Neela is in fact innocent, but will turn in his dad, who is prepared to deny everything.
Wow.
Yeah, that one's the most lengthy, but this storyline, like this whole 24 feels like compressed yet extended.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from. It feels like we're getting big revelations pretty early on, and yet it feels like a fucking eternity.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, you get a big splash, but between a big splash, you get like nothing. And the fact that we knew that his dad was the mole and he figured it out, like, seeming like, I don't know.
With very little proof for anything.
Yeah, I just don't know if I could make that jump, right?
Yeah.
Like, so there's like, you know, there's four people close to you that could have access to this data. And you're suspecting the one, and then you immediately start suspecting the other one because he doesn't react the way you think he should. Like, and you're running for president, and like, I thought his excuse was good. Like,
I don't know. I don't buy it.
These are two actually really good actors as well. So I'm surprised at like, the senator I thought acted really well.
Yeah,
the father, I don't think acted that well.
He did not.
But although, he doesn't have the content really.
The script is bad. I would say I keep wanting to say Senator O'Connor's name is Edward James Olmos, but I know that's wrong. What's his name?
Senator Donovan.
No, but what's the actor's name?
I have no idea. I'm not on a IMDb, so I can't tell you.
All right. Well, anyway, Senator Organa, really pretty decent acting.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one holding...
Jimmy Smits.
Yeah. He's the one that I think is... He's trying to prop this whole show up, really.
Yeah.
He's definitely the best actor. And he's just like... He's not given enough meat to really, you know, get in on this.
Is there anything else to say on that plot line, though?
No. This is going to be a real quick podcast.
Oh, side note. I do think it's interesting that now in this 24 timeline, ISIL is still a thing.
Yeah. Well, was it ISIL not a thing in the old 24?
ISIL... I mean,
ISIL didn't come around until after...
Right. It's like a pretty recent development in our universe.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, currently... There's been very little context between old 24 and new 24.
Yes.
There's been CTU and one mention of a character that wasn't even that popular. Edgar or whatever his name was.
I'll come back to this.
Yeah, I mean, we watched the previews. The Super Bowl commercial is lying to us.
Yeah.
And I'm very upset. I mean, we talked about it episode one. Like, when is Tony Almeida going to come in? We still don't know.
You know, yeah, I have no idea.
All right, we'll move on to the next plot line.
Okay, what's the next plot line? Let's save the best for last, though.
Which one do you think is the best one?
The one that we love talking about. Insanity High School.
Okay, all right. So, close call. Having heard a recording of the phone call where Aisha ordered a hit on Isaac, Nicole was anxious to alert her ex, so she tripped up 6'2" Jerome with a coffee table and made a run for it. Jerome chased after her, firing bullets, while Aisha tried to head Nicole off at the pass. Nicole KO'd Aisha, then pulled a gun on Jerome and phoned Isaac, just in time to keep him from getting whacked at the meetup. Hearing shots fired, cops arrived to arrest Nicole after Aisha and Jerome had split, but as Isaac ended up bribing the men in blue to let her go.
It's just that easy. Bribing the cops.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, money. Money talks.
Money talks.
I'm really happy this storyline is over.
I don't think it's over, man.
It's over.
Mate, hopefully. I hope that they took like... Aisha's a terrible actor. She needs to get off of TV.
Get off of TV, get into, I don't know, marketing.
Go back to acting school. I wonder how she got this job, because like there's no way anyone's respectably going, and you know, this is good enough, you know, this is our actor.
Maybe she's like a stage actor, but in like a musical or something where overacting is, you know, the soup du jour.
Yeah. Just
yeah. Yep.
This isn't... I mean, I like this plot line for the strong female of Eric's girlfriend. What's her name?
Nicole.
Nicole.
Wife?
You're right. Wife. My bad. Yeah. That's, you know, something you don't see in 24 a lot. I mean, you got Chloe, but she wasn't like a strong agent.
Sure.
Whereas, you know...
You got... The lady from 24 Live Another Day. She was pretty decent.
Oh, yeah.
She was pretty
good. She should come back. I liked her.
Yeah, too much money.
Probably. I mean, they're definitely doing this show on the cheap.
Oh, yeah.
So cheap.
Although they got that Jimmy Smits money.
I don't have no idea how they got him, and they can't, like, get any other competent actors or CG. I don't think there's any CG in... No, there was a CG... On his phone, on Eric's phone.
What are you talking about?
There's so bad.
What are you talking about? There's no CG. There's that CG rolling cylinder in episode one.
No, I meant in this episode.
Okay, yeah.
But there was terrible CG on his phone with the blueprints. Just bad.
Yeah. Hooey.
So, I mean, the other thing I guess we can talk about is Eric's brother and that hit.
Oh, yeah. So basically, Aisha is playing this it doesn't really make sense how this is going to play out, but Aisha's playing this hit on Isaac, and you know, Nicole calls him up and sort of tells him what's up, and he
we talked about it. We don't have to
it, basically. I think that scene pretty decently done. You know, there was certainly some tension.
Well, so the bluff, would you have believed that bluff?
No.
Yeah. And what's stopping that guy from just shooting him and then taking the money and the goods?
Isaac?
No, not Isaac, the other guy that was are going to shoot Isaac.
Right. No, but I'm saying that his bluff was what was going to do it. Oh, goodness. My boss is IMing me. I'm not answering that.
Ooh, it says you're online, though.
Oh, boy.
No, but like, so Aisha's plan is to have Isaac killed and then this deal still go down? Like, how does that work? Like, what is everyone getting out of that? I feel like the plan is too simplistic.
Yeah, it's a garbage storyline. It's just bad. It's not worth wasting brain cells on.
No.
What's up?
Do you want to pause so you can send a message?
Yeah, all right. We'll be back after these short messages. Hi, I'm Jimmy. Jimmy Smurts, come on down to Jimmy Smurts' Acton College. Oh, Acton.
Okay.
You there, young boy. Would you like to come down to Jimmy Smurts'?
You got
to
get Aisha in this acting class, Jimmy.
You're the Aisha. You need to come to my...
You need to come to my Jimmy Smurts acting school. You sound nothing like Jimmy Smurts.
His name is Jimmy Smurts.
Whatever. You sound like a clown.
Yeah. Well, yeah, come on down. We're back.
All right. So let's move on to the next plot line. CTU later. Yes, the terrorists got their hands on the flash drive. Though unbeknownst to any of the good guys, the sleeper cell files got corrupted, and thus will conveniently take much time to salvage.
So, remind me of something. Did they have to, like, do something to get access to the terrorist cell files in the first episode?
No.
Like, he just plugged into his phone and it worked.
But the flash drive did get dented in that great CG scene.
Sure.
So maybe that's... They didn't really... There's not, like, a lot of call to attention of that at all.
I've definitely noticed it's been dented, but yeah, you're right.
I don't remember how dented it was when, you know, he put it in the flash drive in his phone.
Yeah.
CTU, meanwhile, was left with no leads until Grimes told Carter that he recognized the custom guns used by Jadala's crew, and they likely came from an ex-military smuggler.
Smugger.
It says smugger on here.
Little smugger.
Smuggler named Gabriel. Carter suggested to Millens that he and Grimes approach Gabriel ostensibly to sell top secret military schematics. But Mullins nixes the idea, so of course Carter and Ingram conspire to launch that op anyway, with about to be fired Andy sneaking the schematics to Carter, who then gets the drop on not one, but three men to sneak himself and Grimes out of CTU. To find this Gabriel.
So I know you just talked about that plot line. I want to go back and talk about Aisha for a second.
Can we talk about this plot line before we talk about Aisha again?
Sure, that's fine.
This
is such classic 24. Hey, let's go off on a little side mission. Has nothing to do with the main mission. Just like, we need some plot.
But there's only 12 episodes. You think you could drive to the main plot in 12 episodes? This is episode 4. Like, there's not that many episodes left.
Yeah.
Like, there's only eight episodes left, or I can't count right now.
It is seven too many.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I like 24, but, you know, after the first two episodes, these two episodes, they're not up to par.
The stakes aren't that high.
I don't care if the stakes aren't that high. Like, the stakes could be high for an individual person.
Sure.
But, like, they're not that high in terms of like previous seasons of 24, so it's hard to go back.
Yeah.
To like something so like the last season was about, you know, drone pilots like destroying all of London.
Yeah.
And like here we're talking about shooting up like a mall.
I mean, that's still bad.
It's bad.
But it's not, you know, literally an entire city getting nuked.
I'm also not really that upset that it's smaller, but like it's impacting the plot lines in terms of what they're doing. It just feels so dragged and like nothing is happening.
You and me are in the same boat here. Yeah.
So I want to talk about CTU for a second here.
Okay. So and actually there is something, talk about it.
So the security at CTU is bananas bad. Like it's not even funny. Like, how does he turn off all of the computers at CTU with a smoke bomb?
How come Jack Bauer never did that?
Because he didn't need to.
Fair.
CTU was on his side. Most of the time.
I feel like half the time it was not.
We don't have our 24 historian, so.
That's fair. This guy single-handedly takes out, you know, CTU security and computers and everything, and he's never walked into CTU before.
Was that a comment he made? He made a comment about the CTU base when he got there.
Well, there was like they had this sort of actually kind of nice scene where the moment he walks into CTU. You sort of have like the camera panning around him and it's sort of like foreshadowing that he's the new Jack Bauer and he's going to be spending a lot of time in here and he kind of, you know, likes the whole look of it. And he comments to Rebecca Ingram that this isn't some bunker in Yemen. This is the real deal. That may be what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's the comment I was looking for, but I don't know if that means he was never there before. But it kind of makes it seem like
implies he's never been there before. Like there's no reason for him to have done so. Yeah.
And then, like, he just knows that there's, like, this is the only bank of computers that is not locked, not guarded in any way that he could just get in.
Have you ever been to a data center?
We have. So, at my work.
Yeah.
We're, like, a small gaming company. At least our studio is. We have computers in a room. There's a lock on it. Not everyone could just get in and like fucking unplug all the wires. So I'm assuming at CTU, a government facility is definitely having some sort of badge system. And Eric has no reason to have access because he's not a CTU agent. He's just an Army Ranger that probably, you know, barely deserves even to get in the building.
Yeah.
That's like. And then there's only one bank of computers, too. It's not like there's no redundancy. This is the government. They're going to have a redundant backup here. What if somebody actually blew up instead of just turned off for 5 minutes?
It's too nuts.
Just turn his CTU off for what? Months while they reset it? Come on. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Who is writing this? Does anyone sit down and be like, yeah, that's not how anything would work. Why would they? What?
Dude, it's 24.
The thing is, most of 24, I mean, you can turn your brain off a little bit, but like, the acting is bad. The plot is bad. I just want to know what's going on with this show right now.
Yeah, me too. You and me both, and our listeners, all of us.
I feel like, you know, we've committed this podcast, and I want to do it. You know, I could see why, you know, our co-hosts aren't showing up because like there's no priority to come because these episodes aren't, you know, they're not compelling.
I'm not very invested in the show.
No, I understand. If any listeners want to like agree with us, please reach out. Let us know. We need to let 24 know this isn't good enough.
Post a text on our web zone.
Our web zone. I guess we can go over the last plot line.
I want to talk about Aisha.
All right, we'll do Aisha.
At the end of the Aisha arc, or so we think, potentially, there's a scene of
definitely coming back.
No, I'm talking about something completely different. Nicole and her former boyfriend, Isaac, look into each other's eyes. Their faces a little too close for comfort. There's a lot of, will they? won't they? You never really know. And then they just hug, and now you know.
Is this Aisha? No, this was Nicole.
No, this is Nicole and Isaac.
Well, Aisha and the other guy were also kind of cozy, too.
She's just, you know, shaking what she got.
I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah. All right. And now the next plot line.
So this one, you might have to expand. There's not a lot happening in this episode.
No, there's really not.
So the girlfriend experience, Amira's brother Hassan coached her over the phone on how to end Drew's life with a syringe full of air shot into his IV. And though she couldn't bring herself to do it, when Drew woke up and started freaking the F out over seeing her, Amira went ahead and killed him as instructed. That's the whole of that plot line.
That's literally all that happened in Insanity High School. She just killed a guy. That's nothing.
Yeah.
No hijinks, no nothing. Well, there was a brief period where you thought, oh, maybe Drew's going to get the last laugh and just kill her.
But oh, that would have been great.
That would have been an amazing twist.
Yeah, that would have been great. I mean, you also see scenes of Insanity High School teacher like making that bomb,
just waltzing that white.
Yeah. At least we got to see the brother. This first week we saw the brother this week.
We did see him on the phone last week.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't not talk very about memorable. It. Yeah.
Obviously. Not a lot, and this has been that memorable. So we didn't have a drink of the week this week, Max.
The drink of the week is tears for the history of 24.
I feel like you might be right. The way the season is going, I can't imagine the viewership is up.
Oh no.
Or sustaining. I mean, I haven't looked. So, you know, this could be the very last season of 24.
Is it going to be like a scrub situation where nobody even like acknowledges the final season?
Maybe.
Actually, this is a very apt comparison because they swapped out the entire cast, basically.
I mean, the thing is, we talked about it. We needed Tony Almeida to show up. He's still not here.
I don't understand what's going on there. Is this just going to be like a cameo? Like, hey, it's me.
Like, are they going to... I don't know. I have no idea when Tony's going to show up because the next episode is going to be about the plot line of them talking to Gabriel.
Chris, I have an amazing idea. You ready?
Sure.
I think we need a new segment called Tony Watch.
We talked about Tony in the first episode.
Right, but we need to talk about Tony every episode.
When do you think he's showing up?
I think they maybe got 6 episodes in, and then they realized, oh, this show is going to tank. We need some star power, and they got Tony Almeida. So I think he's going to show up in episode 7 when the viewership has dropped off dramatically.
It's way too late for him to show up in episode 7.
Yeah.
Well, it's already too late for him to show up.
Yeah.
He's definitely not showing up next week.
No way.
Episode 7 seems realistic, to be honest.
Maybe 6, but I'm aiming for 7.
Maybe 8? I don't know. Who knows? Could be 11. Or could be 12.
Actually, well, so Mole Watch is we try and guess who's the mole. So I guess here we're trying to guess who's Tony. Who's Tony in disguise? Who's going to pull off their face mask Scooby-Doo style and they're secretly Tony?
It's definitely going to be the CTU agent, Keith.
Oh. You know, Keith has a T in it and so does Tony. So I think you're really onto something there.
All right, Max, who are you putting up for Mole Watch? Currently, you have CTU agent guy. I'm assuming that is Keith.
Yep.
Then you have Mr. Insanity.
Oh, wait, no. CTU agent guy is the former boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Keith?
The guy that's going to get fired? That's him.
No, that's not who I'm talking about. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're talking... Oh, yeah, that's right. The boyfriend.
Right.
That's the CTU agent.
Right.
Keith is the guy that's getting fired.
I almost want to say that all moles have been revealed.
Nah, it's episode 4. There's 12 episodes. There's at least one more mole.
Who's the booty? The big booty.
Big booty?
Yeah. He was a late reveal.
Yeah, he was.
Who's yours?
I'm debating between Mr. Insanity again and Rebecca.
That would be a hell of a twist.
You know, Rebecca could have linked, you know, the father to Ben Khalid's people, and like maybe they're blackmailing her too.
Sure.
Like, it seems like that might be one of the most reasonable moles at this point that would fit into the story.
Yeah, you know, it would be a real, like, a personal, like, thing.
Because she was involved in the raid the year before.
Right. It makes zero sense, but, you know,
yeah, but
24 rarely does.
Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, the only realistic moles I can see are, you know, you got the guys at CTU. So you've got the new girl, the guy that's getting fired. I don't know his name.
Andy?
Yeah.
Andy.
Keith is the head of CTU, right?
Yeah.
Keith, and then you have Rebecca. And you don't think there's a mole with the senator plot line. And the only other mole could be is Mr. Insanity as a reverse mole.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's a mole. That's my mole watch. I think we're out of moles.
You don't get any points for no moles.
Ooh, actually, Amira. We saw her chickening out this week. Maybe she'll chicken out in the future.
All right, I'm putting you down for Amira.
All right, I'm in. He's in.
I'm going to put down Rebecca.
Cool.
Rebecca is my mole. And the other people not on the podcast, they don't get any points this week.
Yeah.
No points for you.
Sucks to suck.
Anything else we got to talk about for this episode?
What have you been watching?
Let's see. So,
What media have you been consuming?
I have been watching Last Man Standing.
Okay.
The Tim Allen sitcom. So I can't say it's not entertaining. I like it. It's entertaining, but it's very Republican.
I totally thought you were talking about Last Man on Earth.
No.
Okay.
Tim Allen.
It's very Republican?
Yeah. It's super Republican and it's super political.
That's weird.
Like, they blame Obama, like, out loud multiple times an episode.
Is it like a thanks Obama crowd laughs?
I don't think the laugh track isn't that bad in this show.
Huh.
Except there was a part in season one that was like almost made me stop watching the whole show.
Okay.
So I'll set the scene up. So this guy, hold on.
I hate it already.
Damn it. I don't quite remember it all.
Okay. We'll come back to it.
Yeah. What have you been watching, Max?
I have been busy. So basically all I've been watching is like The Expanse. Apparently they had a hell of an episode this week.
Ooh, I haven't watched it yet either.
Well, I may have my hands on it, so maybe we'll see.
All right, maybe once we're done chatting with you guys.
Yeah, you should join us for our The Expanse podcast, Big Ol' Asteroid. We haven't set up the Twitter yet, but yeah.
Getting right on that one.
Yep, Big Ol' Asteroid.
So the plot line is the wife is meeting this, some guy compliments Tim Allen's wife.
Okay.
And then Tim Allen comes into the door and the wife says, "Hey, why don't you compliment me like that?" No. And then Tim Allen says, "Because I already have you." And I was like, I don't think you can say you have her. It's not like
you can in Trump country.
No, exactly. So I'm just like, okay, that's just my expectations for the whole show, is it's very Republican.
That's very strange, but I guess there is a market.
Well, there's, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's like they're set in Colorado, so there's a lot of like weeds. There's like his father owns a weed store,
sure,
which is like not Republican, but everything about the show is Republican.
Huh.
Like they're all about hunting and like they're trying to get family values and people. The most Republican value I can say is that people are lazy and they need to work more, and that's like all over the show.
Huh. You're really not selling me on this.
No, I'm not saying you should watch it. I'm just saying, I'm just giving you context. Like, if you want, I'm learning about the Republican side of the country.
Okay.
Which I'm like expanding my soapbox.
That's fair. That's fair. I spent last weekend skiing in Trump country. They had a combination quilting, tobacco, and liquor store, which I thought was cool.
I don't think you're going to quilt that well. Drunk. That's just not going to happen.
Don't knock until you try it.
Maybe. I've never learned how to quilt, so it'd be difficult.
Me neither. But, you know, somebody's got to love it.
All right. Well, you have anything else?
No.
You got any plugs? I'm going to assume.
Shout out to Chris. Chris Lorenz.
Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at TheChrisLorenz. And if you have any Mole Watch, want to comment about 24, you can follow us on Twitter at TheDPPL or find us on Facebook.com/TheDPPL or email us at TheDPPL@gmail.com. See you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in.